we're now going to move on to the bit which Theo and Rebecca have really been looking forward to, which is when they can come up and answer some questions and tell us a little bit about their life. So Theo's going to come first, and they do know the questions, so I'm not springing them on them, so that's good. And maybe if I take, can I take this mic, Vinny? One, two, one, four. Excellent. So first of all, Theo, I know that you've got some family and friends here with you today. So who's here with you?
My dad, my niece, my mum, my sister, and Helen and John, and their daughter and grandsons.
Wonderful. So it's really great. Let's give them a round of applause. It's so lovely that you are here. So lovely that you're here to support Theo on this very special day. So, Theo, you are Sheffield born and bred. You have been a best friend of Ben, who's Helen's son, since I think primary school?
Like start of secondary school, yeah.
Start of secondary school. So what caused, because I know that part of your testimony is that life began to go in the wrong way. So what caused your life to begin to sort of go off the rails, and what happened?
Well, a lot of stuff, to be fair. I started at a young age. I started with mental health issues, with anxiety and depression and things. And I didn't know how to deal with that stuff or like explain it. So I just kind of hid it from everyone for a long time. And then that started when I was like 10 and carried on through to my teenage years, where then I found alcohol and drugs. And I found my place there. I thought I could be myself with it, but really all I was doing is getting into a deeper chain and losing myself even more through drinking and drugs. And for many years I managed to keep that up, but I was just spiraling out of control. And then, but I managed to keep the facade up that I was fine and I didn't have a problem and anything. And but then it got harder and harder to... Sorry, my niece is just wandering off to pull now. I don't know what she's doing. it got harder and harder to hide it. My mental health, as it slowly declined through. And then I got onto harder drugs and partying and just drinking every day. Copious amounts of alcohol and just losing myself. And end up losing a lot of things in my life, like relationships and jobs and... Then my mental health just fully went, and I tried to take my own life through partying and taking loads of drugs because I thought I might as well go out as a party. And then, that's when I decided that I needed to make some changes.
Yeah. Wow. So I know that you were working as a fabricator, but because of the abuse of drink and drugs, etc., you lost your job as a fabricator. What made you go on an Alcoholics Anonymous course?
Well, as I said, my mental health was just getting too much and I didn't want to be here anymore. And I thought there's got to be something else. And my sister and my niece came home through to things that's happened in their lives. And I realized that I had to be a better person than what I was being, because I couldn't just be selfish and keep taking things away from people and taking things away from myself. So I had to be a better person for my niece and my sister at the time. So I went to my first alcohol AA thingy, a group, and I haven't had a drink since. So 11 months sober. Yeah.
Wonderful. So you had never been to a church service. You'd only had a few conversations with John and Helen. So how did you discover Jesus?
Well, Jesus has always been around in my life through school and everything. I was never a believer. I was an atheist for all of my life, pretty much. But yeah, me and John, I used to work with John, and we used to have worship on our radio and that in the van, and we used to talk about Jesus. And I always found it so interesting when we talked about it. And then when I was getting sober, a few months into seeing AA group, I saw that just a lot of broken people, like, were getting together to help each other. And I just thought, that's God in itself, if I was going to believe in anything. And then about 3 months into getting sober, I just had this experience when I was just alone in my room. And I was just honestly like, someone just lifting me up. And I'm like, you need to come this way and find the way, because you're doing so well, I think, you know, with the things I met. And I don't think I'd have stayed sober if Jesus didn't come to me that day.
Mm. Wonderful, wonderful. So how has discovering Jesus changed your life, would you say?
For, like I say, stopping me drinking. I have no desire to drink anymore. Thank you, John.
Compulsion, maybe.
through my mental health thing is my anxiety is just gone. Like, I won't be stood up here talking to everyone right now. I couldn't have even got out of bed some days. And it's just amazing what Jesus has done for me.
Mm. Praise God. Wonderful. So the first church service you had ever been to in your life was here on the first Sunday in June. I remember it well, this year. So how did that happen?
Well, I was helping John with a house that he just bought. And we were talking, I can't remember what we were talking about. We were talking about something. And he said to me something along the lines of, oh, you'd probably think it, because I was an atheist still. And you'd probably think it were aliens or something if it was talking about something. And I said, in fact, John, I think it's Jesus, like you doing that. He's like, oh, is that true? That's great news. You must come to church with us. And then I cornered you at his party and then told you all my testimony there. Didn't I? And then I came along to the next service and, yeah, that changed my life. I was crying, weeping. I don't know if anyone saw me. I was absolutely blubbering. Yeah. But, yeah, it was amazing. It was a beautiful experience and I haven't changed it since.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a wonderful experience to meet Theo for the first time at John's birthday and a party, and just to hear your story and of how Jesus had really begun to transform your life without really very much contact, well, no contact with the church, but only through John, sort of contact with Christianity and everything else. So, and it has been incredible. It's been an incredible privilege to have you as part of the church, and just to see you just worshiping and praising the Lord, just recognizing what he has done for you, is just been so encouraging. So what would you say over the past few months has helped you grow as a Christian? Because obviously you started off as very much as a baby Christian.
Well, everything from the baptism group that I did with Rebecca when you, and the growth groups that I've been doing with everyone, and John and Helen, obviously, and everyone else that have just shown me such love and kindness from everyone that I've met, and allowing me to tell my story and just encouraging me so much in the faith. It's been amazing. I couldn't thank everyone enough in here. It's been amazing. Just even the worship itself, just singing the songs, have been life-changing for me. It's amazing.
Wonderful, wonderful. And it's been a joy to see you worshiping as well, so that's been great. Now, we always ask those who are getting baptized if they've got a special song. I don't think it's ever happened before, but both Theo and Rebecca have chosen the same song because it so impacted them when Chyla played it. A few months ago, I think a couple of months ago, at a communion service. So tell us, why is that song, the song Gratitude by Brandon Lake, why is that song special to you?
Yeah, it really struck a chord with me. I think, like it says in the title, it's gratitude. And I think that is the most thing I'm grateful for, the fact that Jesus came to me at my most time that I needed him, in my darkest spot. And I think it really embodies that thing, yeah. Sentiment for myself. And yeah, me and Rebecca, sorry. We both, she doesn't like being called Becca. So we both just felt a lot of, like, I was studying and she was even watching it online, and we both just felt the song speak to us. And we talked about it at the baptism course. So yeah.
Yeah, great. What would you, final question really is, what would you like people to pray for you for your future?
That I grow deeper in the faith and just keep growing deeper, because I don't think there's any, you can't get to the end of it, can you? That's the whole point of it. And just that, please, if you don't mind. I don't know how to ask for things.
Well, we'll certainly pray for that, because it's 44 years ago since I became a Christian and was baptized, and I've still got my L plates on, so lots still to learn. And so let's just, if you feel comfortable, reach out your hands towards Theo. I'm going to pray for Theo as he gets baptized. Yeah, Father God, Lord, thank you for Theo's testimony. Lord, we rejoice in what you have done in Theo's life. Lord, we thank you for transforming his life. Lord, I pray, Lord, you've heard his prayer, that, Lord, he would go deeper and deeper into you. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would fill him with your spirit, Lord, as he's baptized today. And, Lord, that he would continue in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit as he goes on in his life. Lord, would he see you guiding and directing every step that he takes, Lord, every decision he makes, Lord. I pray that he would know your guidance and your direction. And, Lord, the direction of your spirit, Lord, we pray. So, Lord, just bless him, Lord, mightily, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Theo. That's wonderful. I'm going to ask Chyla. Chyla's actually going to come up and sing. One, two. Yep. Wonderful. Excellent. Rebecca, you're in bits, but come on up. You just love that song, don't you?
Thank you, Jayla. Honestly, thank you.
Yeah. So you've got some family and friends here with you today, so.
I do. I have my mom, my granddad, my auntie, my cousin, and then my two close friends with me today.
Wonderful. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much for coming to share this very special day with Rebecca. That's wonderful. So, Rebecca, you're also Sheffield born and bred,
yes.
Or near enough. What was life like for you growing up?
Well, I had a really great childhood. I was a very happy child, apart from the tantrums and all that stuff. But,
sorry, Mum.
Yes, sorry, Mum. Two sides of me. And you either got the really good or the really bad and never in between. That's pretty much me throughout all my life. I've always been aware of God and aware of his word. And when asked the question, do you believe in God? My answer would always change. But I've always had a feeling that at the time made absolutely no sense to me. But when I came to Jesus, everything made so much sense because my eyes were opened to the truth and God cleaned the specs that I were wearing at the time. So praise God to that.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. So going back, in what ways did your life begin to sort of spiral out of control?
Someone asked me a long time ago, when was the last time you remember being happy? And my answer was always, I was 9 and I was performing in school and I did Oliver and I received the biggest standing ovation that I could get as a kid, which is overwhelming. And it was from that point, from the age of 9, that everything else started taking a turn from when I moved house to moving secondary school. And it was in that time that my life started going down a very dark path that just kept deepening and darkening that I couldn't end up getting out of. In school, I found it very hard to fit in. I was one of 5 people that I knew in that whole building. And that was hard until I was able to make the friends that I made. But throughout the course of my teenage years, through school, I had many problems which always came down to the fact of being diagnosed with mental health. So I didn't have a sense of self like most kids would. I was always feeling alone. I never had a self-identity and I struggled with every aspect of my life with inside internal battles that obviously I didn't know what they were. It came through from my outer appearance. It came through in my attitude and behavior towards others. I was bullied, and I became a bully. And I'm sorry. When I was 14, my nan passed away. Around the same time, my mum and dad separated. And it was at that point that I started to find substance. When I found smoking, I started drinking, I started rebelling, sneaking out, lying about where I were. I became a thief, a liar, a cheat. I became evil and vindictive and manipulative. And I had no idea why I was the way that I was. I became horrible to the closest to me. I became vicious. I became an abuser. I became violent. I became empty. Sorry.
Doing fantastic.
And it just continued to spiral and spiral. I started smoking weed. I quit college. I turned to boys, to girls, to Phil, whatever it was that I was going through that I didn't understand at the time. I would use anything and everything I could to feel some sense of worth and whole, to some feel need of light in this darkness, and I would turn to the most awful things that you can imagine to fill it, and it never filled it, ever. I became involved in relationships intimately, and that only expanded the further that I went into it. I became in relationships for long periods of time, some good and some bad. I faced a lot of abuse, physical, emotional, mental, sexual. I faced it, financial. I went through it, and still, no fill, no light. At the age of 23, I started hearing voices. When I was so alone and felt so isolated because I pushed my family away to the point where I weren't talking to them, but became dependent on intimate relationships. And the only comfort that I had was this voice that was female, but she was horrible. And she fed every bit of darkness about myself to me. It was 2 years later that I received another voice in my mind, a male who was quite the opposite, but gave me light and positivity. And this happened at work, because for a long time, I wasn't working. I was just at home smoking weed all day at the partner that I was with at the time. When I came out of that relationship due to abuse, I had lost an incredible amount of weight to the point that when I went to my auntie's house, she thought that I'd just come off of the street and was addicted to drugs. She said I was unrecognizable, and she refused to let me go back to my mum because she didn't want my mum to see me in the condition that I was in. When I finally left that abusive relationship, I did go back home, but the void was still there, and I'd still find anything to fill it. So I relationship jumped, went from one person to another, but I managed to find work, which I was thankful for. The problem was is that I couldn't hold the job for very long because there was always forever something wrong with my behavior and my attitude. I was always getting suspended, and I was always getting into trouble. So in the end, it was either I resigned or I got fired. So I resigned because people struggled to cope with me and my behavior and how I was. They didn't know what to do with me. And even though they tried to be there and keep me, trying to tell me to be positive, nothing worked. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I couldn't give any answers to anything as why I behaved the way that I did or why I was the way that I was. It was through that that I decided that it was time to get help. So I went to the GP and moved from one job to a part-time job, a full-time job to a part-time job. Through the mental health team, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, which is a problem in your brain with regulating emotions and thinking. I was also diagnosed with psychosis, complex PTSD, an eating disorder, anxiety, and depression. But the psychosis was the hardest part. For a while, I had to be on high medication of antidepressants and antipsychotics, which only made me worse further down the line. Then that's when things really started getting difficult for me. I met someone who claimed to be a man of God, who I end up having a relationship with, who I suggest to marrying. And that person, through all the difficulties, I'm not perfect, I made my fair share of mistakes. What I didn't know at the time is that my mental health had decreased so bad that I developed different personalities and different alters, and there was 9 of them altogether in total that was living inside of my body, and I had no awareness and no idea that that was happening. 9 different people with their own names, ages, feelings, likes, dislikes, how they dressed, what they did. And they saw it. My family saw it. My friends, my closest friends had seen it, and they would tell you how different and how that they were not me. And they got worse and they got stronger every day. And I didn't even know until it was pointed out to me. The problem is with that kind of dissociation is that when I am not in my own body, because people usually say you have to take it day by day, because of my mental health, I'd say I take it hour by hour. So when I am in my own body, in the real world, I was still weren't right 100%. But when I wasn't inside of my own self, an hour in the real world became a day in the head. So when you're gone for 24 hours in your body, that is a day for me internally. And you imagine not being in your body for the span and time scale for 3 years at a time, different times where I would be switching constantly, or when I wasn't in my body at all for over 3 months. Can you imagine how much time I lost? I lost a lot of time. I lost my whole sense of perception and reality. I lost my whole sense of self and worth. I lost so much during that time, and time that I cannot get back. Time that was taken from me for whatever reason. It was gone and I can't get it back, with no memory apart from flashbacks. No memory apart from what stories people have told me. Nothing. No answers. Don't know why it happened. This got so much worse that it caused a lot of problems for my relationships around me. And it broke down my partner, and my partner became something that was not a man of God. My partner thought it would be a good idea to show me the pain that he was feeling because of everything that was going on. My partner tried to kill me. Where I had to beg for my life. For him to be a man of God, he didn't ever educate me on the Bible. He never pushed me to pray. I never saw him in the Word as much as I've seen other Christians here and preach the Word as much as I've heard it preached, like from Dennis or from Eugene or from John. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why. And when it was happening, I remember seeing the Bible in the middle of the fireplace thinking, why? Why? You're a man of God, why? When that moment had ended, I dissociated. I started to see things and hear things that weren't real. That's nothing new to me. And it was hard and I felt sick. And I couldn't leave that day until the next day when I was able to come home. And I decided at that point that I wanted to know who God was. I wanted to find myself and I wanted to find God. But the minute that I said that, the enemy latched onto me with chains and weren't going to let me go anywhere. Time scale doesn't make sense to me during all that time period. It wrecked me. I suffered a lot of backlash, a lot of abuse from a lot of people that affected every aspect of my life. A lot of it witnessed. Financial, physical. I've been harassed, stalked, having takeaways delivered to my address, someone taking my identity, taking my money, someone trying to get me sacked from my job. I had women and men calling me and emailing me and texting me with vicious and malicious words and emails the same. So the enemy kept coming. And this has only just ended this year. This year.
Praise God.
I remember leaving that place and still switching, still not being aware of the time and everything that happens. It still doesn't make sense to me. But I was made to be a liar and a fake, that my altars were lie and it were fake. But they weren't. Jesus knows. God knows. God knows what I've been through and what I've gone through, and that's all that matters to me. What he knows of me, what he knows about me, that's what matters. That's what matters. So from that point, I remember being surrounded by all my things after I'd moved from that house. Don't get me wrong, I kept going back to the guy because that's what I wanted. My altars were doing another thing, living their own life. But something was telling me to just keep fighting, and I don't know what. But yet the enemy would do anything it could to keep me in the hole that I was in. And I was in a hole so deep that I became so broken that there were nobody getting me out of that hole. No family member, no friend, no person. No confiding. I was done. I'd given up. I was looking in the mirror and I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm in too much pain. I can't deal with this pain anymore. So I'm ending my life today. And this is how, when, and where I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it because I don't want to do this anymore. I was so broken and I was just in so much bits. I didn't know where to place my head, but the enemy would feed on that. The minute that I'd made that decision, I felt this incredible feeling that you cannot describe unless you felt it yourself. Everything that I felt, the anxiety, the fear, the pain, the hallucinating, the heartache, it left.
Praise God.
It left. And there was a voice inside of me that was so deep that I could explain where it was coming from at the time. But you know, it's that spirit talking to you, saying, you got to seek God, girl, find God. Seek God, find God. Because that's your answer. God. That day, God saved me. He saved me. Mm-hmm. When no one else could have. He saved me. Otherwise, I'd be dead. I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't stood here if it weren't for God. He reached his hand to me and he pulled me out of that ditch despite how hard it was. He came to me and he saved me. And I have him to thank for that.
Praise God. Yeah. Well, you can imagine when I first, when we had our first baptism course, there was Theo sharing his story. And then there was Rebecca sharing her story. And I don't mind admitting it was an enormous privilege to be there, but I was in tears. I was absolutely in tears. What God has done in rescuing both of them, but this young lady, from all that she's been through. And you know how eloquently she's just expressed that, which is absolutely incredible. And I think one of the most powerful things is she does not present as a victim. So many people, having been through what she's been through, would be presenting as a victim. All these people did these horrible things to me. You're taking responsibility for what was your responsibility right from the beginning, but you have clung on to God.
God needs you. He will use you when you're broken.
Yeah.
It took a long time for me to get here. A long time. But I appreciate Jesus more for what he has done because I know where I was before.
Yeah. Amen.
To where I am now.
Yeah. I think some of these other questions are a bit superfluous, really. But when would you say that you realized that Jesus had died on the cross to save and rescue you?
It was strange. I was watching The Passion of Christ with Rika. I know you have to be mindful of the things that you're seeing and you're watching. But I knew that was the closest that I was going to get to understanding. And throughout that entire film, my spirit was burning and I was in such a blubbering mess. But it was when I did the research afterwards, and if you haven't already listened, I suggest to listen to Jim Caviezel's testimony on The Passion of Christ, because it's absolutely incredible. And it was that made me realize, because you can hear something, but you might not understand it. You can understand something, but it might not resonate with you. And it was at that point when, even though I turned to God, that I truly understood just what it was that Jesus did and what it was that God has done, the whole reason, the purpose.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed.
Yeah. Amen. Wonderful. My next question, again, is, we can see it all over your face. How has discovering Jesus changed your life?
Jesus has done so much for me. So much. He has answered every prayer that I have ever asked. He has given me wisdom, understanding, and knowledge every single day. And when I found Jesus, I went to my great aunt, who was a preacher. And the following week, he brought me Rika at the mental health group that I attend, who was the only Christian person around me at the time and has become one of my closest friends. God brought people into my life and he pulled away the people that weren't meant to be in it. But over time, I have felt so much at peace. That despite everything that I went through, it made everything worth it. Because now, even as any storm comes, I can be the eagle that flies over it.
Amen. Amen.
Because this is when I'm happiest, when I'm feeling at peace, when my spirit is with me. And at first I used to fear. I used to worry. It was always about, oh, what's going to happen then? How much time have I got here? What's going to change next? I don't want anything to change. But the wisdom that God has given me throughout services and sermons, and through people, through the growth group, he's brought me friends, Theo, Jake, Lucy, Owen. He's brought me growth group. He's brought me this church. I prayed. When my church that I went to shut down, I prayed. And he sent someone at work, and he came here one day, and I'd have been praying about a church. I need a church that has good worship music, that is very diverse and multicultural and has different age groups, and where you can grow. And he answered those prayers and gave me so much more, so much more. But the most amazing thing about it is that I don't have anxiety anymore. I don't hallucinate, see things and hear things that aren't there anymore.
Praise God. Praise God.
My psychosis is starting to go wherever it's going.
Yeah.
I don't think I've switched half as much as what I did. I still feel some in there, but I'm going to give it time, because it's all his time and they will go.
Yes. Amen.
I will go from 1-9 to 1. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Yeah. So tell us why that song's special to you.
That song burned my spirit. As we said, I was at work that day, so I watched it at home. And when I was listening to it, I didn't need to do anything because my spirit did it for me. Chose straight away a childless song. Childless sang that beautifully. Every time I was literally rewinding it, I weren't listening to the OG version. No, this was Chyla's version I was listening to, and I was forever rewinding it all week. Had it on YouTube, do my head and went advert, come on. I'm there rewinding it right to the point where we started, like throughout that entire week. I still think you need to get that recorded so you can send it to me and I can keep it on my phone. Make it a lot easier for me, honestly. But that really resonated with me. So I didn't need to choose because my spirit did it for me. And that's one thing that my spirit is good at. My spirit is good at leading me into things and away from things. Mm. So I'm glad I chose Charlie to sing that song. You played amazingly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So beautiful. You know, it was wonderful. It was only a few weeks ago, really, a couple of months ago now, that I was announcing that we were starting the baptism course this next week. And if anyone was interested in getting baptized, to see me after the service. I had no idea that Rebecca was actually watching online from home. She got on a bus from Brinsworth.
That's what Mum brought me.
And came in. I was saying goodbye to people. Theo was just near me, actually. And you burst through the door the wrong way, a bit late for the service, and said, can I be baptized? Can I come on that course? And what a joy, what a privilege, what an honor to hear what God has done in your life and the way you've expressed it. That is absolutely wonderful.
I've just got a couple of things that I just want to mention that God has been leading me to say this entire week while praying over my testimony. I'm sorry if it was a bit long. There was so much that happened. I had to really compact it. So you literally got a slice of what actually happened. The two powers in life you can never control or stop is time and change. The two most difficult components in life to manage is time and change. The key is a successful and effective management of time and change. And the regulator of time and change is planning. I lost so much time during all of my experience that I can't get back, that I now try to use my time in the best way that I can. Because time is a gift that is given by God to fulfill our purpose here. Mm. And it don't last forever. Mm. We're only getting a slice of that forever. Mm. How do you use your time? The only stability and guarantee you have in life is transition and change. It can't be avoided by anyone or any creation. And if you only look to the past and the present, you're going to miss out on the things of the future. And with change, you can use it. You can ignore it. You can resist it. Be a victim of it. You can plan it. Continuous personal change is a reflection from our own growth and empowerment. How do you choose to deal with the change, and what does God do to help you with your time and change? God is real. And it doesn't matter of your background, where you're from, what you have done in your life. God is real and He will do the impossible. He will change your life and He will transform you. Mm. He will do amazing and incredible, wonderful works in you. And I remember on the Alpha Course, Sally saying the one question that she would ask to God is, why do people fight it? So I'm saying, don't. If you even have a speckle of something inside of you telling you to find God or seek God, or you're curious about God, go seek it. Go find it. Because I asked and He gave. I seek and I found. And I knocked and He opened that door, and He will do the same for everybody else.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God is a blessing. He's done so much for my life. And it doesn't matter who you are. Don't fight it. If you have it, don't fight it. because it took me a long way to get here, but I made it. I made it to God. And I wish I could have found it a lot sooner, but I didn't, and that's just his plan. He has a plan and he has a purpose for you and your life, and he will get you there if you have faith and hope and you believe. He will do everything for you. You will never feel a love like it. You will never feel alone. All these voids that we feel are where God is missing in our lives. That's why people choose to fill this void with things of the world. I'm separate from the world and I don't belong in it. So I choose today to turn my life over to Jesus and worship and bow down to my Lord and King.
Amen. Amen. Those who get baptized don't normally preach as well, but that's great.
I'm sorry.
It's wonderful. Don't worry. Don't apologize. How can we pray for you for the future? I think you've almost answered that already as well. I think we just pray for more of the Spirit and that God takes and uses you. Because I feel for both Theo and yourself, you know, God has got a calling on both of your lives. And I'm excited about how God's going to use you both in the future. Let's just reach out our hands towards Rebecca and let's pray. Yeah, Father God, Lord, we just want to thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you for the evidence that Jesus is alive today. Lord, I thank you for the evidence of your power, your transforming power in the lives of ordinary people. Like Rebecca and Theo and me and many others here. And Lord, I just thank you that, Lord, you've rescued Rebecca from the deepest pit. And Lord, she didn't have to climb out of it herself. Lord, she cried out to you, and Lord, you lifted her up out of that pit. And Lord, you've set her feet on the rock of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray now that, Lord, you continue to fill and anoint her with your Holy Spirit, that you would use this young woman and, Lord, her testimony in powerful ways, in ways perhaps beyond that which we can imagine. And Lord, just fill her with your Spirit and use her mightily in your kingdom, Lord, we pray. Lord, I thank you that she loves you, that she loves to worship you. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, as she's shared and as she's spoken today, that there will be many others here today, Lord, who will not only seek you, but, Lord, will find you. And, Lord, have their lives transformed, as Rebecca has had her life transformed by her precious Jesus, who died on the cross for her. Lord, we thank you, Lord, we praise you, and, Lord, we worship you together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you, church, for your patience.